read this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter. I'll be reading the first 8 verses of chapter 6, the book of Isaiah. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphims were in attendance above him, and each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Amen. Within this very short, very brief passage from Isaiah, we have a model for worship of what should be and can be the form of worship and the type of worship we have as we gather together as a church. It begins as Isaiah comes into the sanctuary and he has a vision, an awareness of God. And that vision leads Isaiah to adoration as he tries to give expression of how he sees this God, holy and high and lifted up, so magnificent that the hem of his garment fills the entire sanctuary. I mean, you can just grasp, I think, that Isaiah is so filled with the wonder and the majesty and the awe of God that he doesn't know how to express it. And so he expresses it in such terms, such exaggerated terms, to say that him fills the whole sanctuary. And as he leads into this adoration of the majesty of God, Isaiah becomes aware of his own shortcomings, of his failures. Here he is in the presence of the Most High God, Creator of heaven and earth, and he's saying, "Here I am, a man of unclean lips." He becomes aware of his own sinfulness. And this awareness of his sinfulness in the light of the glory of God leads Isaiah to confession. He confesses that sin before God. And in the tradition that we have in the New Testament, where we're told that if we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Isaiah experiences the same forgiveness as when he's touched in the lips by the forgiveness of God by one of the angels in attendance. He's told that your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. The same as our understanding that God forgives our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And now that Isaiah has experienced this forgiveness, this cleansing, he hears God. God is looking out at his creation and wondering, who is it that will go out there and proclaim the good news of God? And Isaiah hears God saying that. And his response is, "Here I am, God. Send me." It's the way of Isaiah saying that I'll celebrate the goodness of God, that you've been so good to me, God. How can I not go? There is within his heart a desire to be used by God to share the goodness of God, because the goodness of God is contagious. When you've experienced the grace of God, you want to share that with others. God has forgiven me of my sins. And he wants to share with other people this goodness of God. And so in Isaiah, we have this movement from adoration and worship to confession, to forgiveness, to hearing God call the church, and the church responding to that call. This morning, I want to begin the series that I mentioned to you earlier in the service, the series of 8 messages on the nature of God, because I'm convinced that we cannot begin to worship God until we first understand the nature of God and we experience that nature for ourselves. For many people, when you think about God, you think about God as the lawgiver. If I ask you to tell me about God in the Old Testament, you'd probably think about Moses and the lawgiver. A lot of people look at the New Testament as Jesus just being another Moses, another lawgiver. And we don't want to diminish the value of the law, the standards that God has given to us. But we also want to include, though, with our understanding of that part of God, we want to include the loving, redemptive nature of God. I mean, let's face it, we're human, and we respond in human ways. How many times have you heard anybody say, God, I just want to thank you for giving me the Ten Commandments. Thank you, God, for telling me not to lust or to kill or to commit adultery or any of the other commandments that we have from God. We should give God thanks for the standards that he gives to us so that we have a basis to have a society and relationships with one another. But we also need to be thankful to God for all that he's done for us in his nature. And I think that's where true worship begins. True adoration and true praise. The choruses that we sang at the beginning of this service are some of the most beautiful choruses that are in the contemporary worship services today. But at the heart of those choruses is this sense of why do you as an individual want to exalt God? Why do you want to glorify the name of Jesus? What have you experienced yourself about the nature of this magnificent God that causes you to come up to your feet and maybe even lift your hands and say, God, I exalt you. I exalt your name. I glorify your name. Wouldn't it be because of what this God has done in your own life? And so we want to look at that for the next several weeks. We want to look at the nature of God as our provider, as our healer. When we talk about him as our banner, we mean he's our warrior. He's the one that goes out in front. He's the big brother that whoops those people that are messing with us. He takes care of us that way. This morning I want to focus on God as our provider for just a few minutes. And where this thought comes from is the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I think that if you remember your Bible and your Old Testament, you remember the story. Abraham was called by God to leave his family and go into this new land where God's going to establish for himself a people. And he tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, you're going to be the father of all my people. It's going to begin with you. And Abraham's an old man and Sarah, his wife, is old. And they've never had any children, and he's trying to figure out how God's going to fulfill this promise when they don't have any children. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He provides a way. And we always want to remember that when God calls us as individuals or he calls us as a church to do something for him, he provides the way. He provides all that we need to fulfill that. And if you remember the story, there was a time when Abraham didn't trust in that. So he tried to provide his own children. And God said, no, Abraham, there's going to be a child come from you and Sarah. That will be the beginning. And God was faithful. And in their old age, when they knew when they became pregnant, when they would know that there's only one thing that they could say about this pregnancy. It was a gift from God. God had provided, because they were beyond childbearing years. God wanted it to be a miraculous birth, and it was. And now they have this son. They call the son Isaac. And as Isaac grows up to become a young boy and a young man, God speaks to Abraham, and he says, you know, Abraham, you and I have walked together many years. I've shown you a lot of things. The relationship that you and I have had, Abraham, has been very precious. It's been very intimate. I want to know, though, Abraham, now that you've got this son that you've longed for all of your life, is this son more important to you than your relationship with me? Abraham, if it was necessary, would you even sacrifice your own son so that there would be nothing between you and me? That we would continue in the intimacy of our walk and our faithfulness together. And Abraham said to God, God, you're my God. You're my all in all. There is nothing before me except you. You are the top priority in my life. And even if it meant sacrificing my son Isaac, I would do that to maintain this relationship between you and I. And as evidence of that, Abraham went up on this mountain, and there he built this altar, and he was prepared even to sacrifice Isaac, that there would be nothing between him and God. Nothing more important in his life than his relationship with God. And God looked at that and said, Abraham, I know your heart. And I know you love me. And I'm not going to require sacrifice from you. But let's make this a holy place. I do want a sacrifice to be made here, but I'll provide the sacrifice. And you remember the end of the story, don't you, that there was a ram caught in a thicket that Abraham could get, and that became the sacrifice to make that a holy place. And do you remember what Abraham did after that sacrifice? He built an altar there, didn't he? And he gave a name to that altar. In the Hebrew text, it's called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And Abraham said, this is a holy place because God provides for me. He provides for me always. And he wanted to make a memorial at that place to say, on this mountain, at this time, God provided a sacrifice. Can you just sense the worship that flowed out of Abraham? How full his heart was because God had provided for him. In our story, as the seeds of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, as the children of God, our story is the same. We come to worship, to offer God adoration and praise for all that he's done for us. We sing about it. In our doxology, don't we? We say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And what I want to ask this morning, you know, how are you in your walk with God? Are you trusting God to provide for your life? It's hard to do, isn't it? Because we're so capable. It seems like it's only when we get to our end, when all else fails, that we want to trust God. You know how it is when you get the gifts at Christmas and you're trying to put them together, and when you can't get them together, when all else fails, what do? You read the instructions. So often our life is like that in our relationship with God. We trust in our own ingenuity, our own strength, our own wisdom, our own ideas of how things ought to be. And God wants us to trust in Him and Him alone. But when we do trust in God, we find that He provides for us, sometimes in miraculous ways. In this program that I'm participating in Jacksonville, one of the people that's in the program with me and has become very dear to me as a minister in the AME church, he was sharing with me that the call that he had to ministry and what led to his commitment at middle age to go to seminary. He said he had felt that God had called him, and he'd begun working in ministry in his local church, but he hadn't given full commitment to God yet. And he got discouraged because he just couldn't see any evidence that God really had a call on him. He felt it inside his heart, but on the outward appearance, he just couldn't see anything happening. And so he got discouraged, and he was ready to quit. He had gone to a church service at the request of a friend, and he was down in Lakeland in a very big church. He said there must have been 2,500 or maybe 3,000 people in this huge sanctuary. And the person, the guest speaker there, was speaking, and all of a sudden, as he looked out over this one section, he stopped. And he says, I hear the Lord telling me that there's somebody here that knows they've been called to ministry, but they're very discouraged and they're ready to quit. And he says, I've got a word for you, and if you'll come down, I'll give you that word. Well, my friend Bobby said, I wasn't about to stand up in that place. He said, but 25 or 30 others did. And they all went down front. And that evangelist told them, you're not the one. And he looked out at the crowd again. And he says, I'm telling you, there's somebody here. You know God is speaking to you. God's called you to ministry and you're ready to quit. And I've got a word for you if you'll come and get it. Nobody else got up. So the minister said, I want everybody in this section to get up and line against the wall because I'm going to go down to you one by one and pray for every one of you. I am not going to let this person get out of this church without receiving the blessing that God has for them. My friend was real scared at this point. But he got up and he lined the wall with the rest of them. And one by one, that minister started going down until he got to Bobby. And when he got to Bobby, he looked at him and said, you're the one, aren't you? Bobby said, I can't run anymore. God sometimes provides in supernatural ways what we need when we need to have it. Some time ago, several weeks ago, I was going through a period where I was feeling a little bit discouraged about how things were going. We were going through kind of some doldrums here where we were shrinking. People were staying away by the droves. And I was reducing each week the number of bulletins I was printing out. And I was really struggling with that. I'm saying, you know, Lord, I know you called me to ministry, but I wonder why. I just don't see how I'm affecting anybody's life. And one of those times when I was really dry, the mail came. And I got a card from somebody who had come to see me last summer. It had been that long ago. And they came because they needed some information about a program they were working on. And so I provided that information to them. But in the course of doing that, we began to share a little bit. And I began to feel that this person was really struggling with some issues in their life. So I shared some of the things that I've walked through and what the Lord has done for me. And I provided some resources for this person, and we had prayer together. And I get this note back 1st of June. Well, this is an encounter that happened, I think, last summer. And it told me, said, you know, here's some stuff that a follow-up that we talked about, and they mentioned that. And then the last thing they say in note, the time I spent with you changed my life forever and has allowed God to heal some great gaping wounds. Thank you. God provides. Sometimes when we least expect it, from areas in our life that we least expect it, but God provides. Over and over again, it's been my experience as I've gone through life that when we are still, and that's the reason I sang this song, I wanted us to sing this song a few minutes ago, when we become still before God, be still, my soul, and listen for God to see what God is doing, we will find that God will bring a friend into our life. He'll bring somebody that has a word for us to encourage us when we need it. I know often I've experienced the truth of that passage in Psalm 23 where it says, that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. All of us, I think, have probably experienced a time of death in our families where we've lost a loved one close to us. And then we have been touched and overwhelmed with the generosity of friends that come and provide comfort and food and companionship to help us through that difficult time. That's God preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemy death to help us through those difficult times. God provides. And even as I speak this morning, I can look in your faces and see that your memory is fanning back and you're remembering that time that God provided for you. Maybe you're about to give up and you just kind of lost a sense of hope, and then the right person, the right word came into your life. Maybe you were struggling with a real financial need, and out of nowhere that need is met. You find that our God is an awesome God, and He's limitless in the ways that He can come and touch our lives and to make us whole again. Because our God provides for our every need. When we are thinking about God and God providing for our needs, it tends to take our thoughts off of ourselves as we focus on the holiness of our God. I'd like to ask you over the next week or so as we begin this journey together into the nature of God, is to let the Holy Spirit quicken your heart and your mind with how often God has provided for your needs. Resolve once again in your spirit that you'll trust God to provide a way even when there is no way that you can see. Because the outgrowth of that, it'll be our coming together as a community of believers, giving praise and adoration to God who provides for us. And when our hearts are full with all that God has done for us, then we're ready to worship. We're ready to hear God call us to ministry. And there's a willingness within us to confess our sins because we want our life to be so full of this God who loves us and provides for our every need according to His riches and His glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are so good to us. We confess that oftentimes we walk through life with an arrogance that we have provided for ourselves. And we lose sight of the reality of that marvelous doxology that we sing every week. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Forgive us, Father, for being so quick to take credit for our successes. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father, that as we go forth from this place today, that as we go forth, we may be ever more mindful of all that You are doing in our life to provide for our every need. And we'll give You the glory and the honor and the praise and the thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare